I don't know why Joe just looked at me like that before the show started. Like, he did something bad. Like, what did you guys do?
No, I know. You just looked at me. I thought you were going to start roasting me or something.
Okay.
I was expecting it.
You guys are just on edge, yeah?
I just assumed.
Friday? You know I got those Friday vibes of just ready to hit the weekend.
Well, it's weird because Pete's here today.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's
hello.
It literally put me off this morning.
Peterborough Pete's.
Yeah, nice.
I was going to prank you this morning, JD. There's a TikTok trend going around where someone records a friend and then announces that one of their favorite celebrities has died.
What?
Yeah. And so I was going to say, Bill Burr, dead at 49, and get it on video. And
yeah, except for, here's the thing. Nothing you say is accurate.
Oh, right.
I literally just went through this. I went right before the show started, I was trying to remember, we have my Commodore coming up in a couple of minutes, and I went, it was 06 where they won, right? And Pete nodded. And what did I say?
I have
learned now with this group, between Austin stats and your guys' just complete disregard of researching anything ever, that I need to take the complete burden of the show when it comes to research, which is fine. I happily wear this on my shoulders. But there's no way that Pete comes up to me and says, Bill Burr has died. And I go, what? especially as he's holding his phone up, going, TikTok, it's TikTok. Yeah. No, I don't think that would have got me, Pete. I don't think I'm that easily fooled. I have seen that trend, though.
Yeah.
I saw the, because I didn't realize it was a trend, but I did see the one video of it's a grandmother and a mother walking up the steps, and they're told that Brad Pitt has passed.
Yeah.
And they freak out about it. It's actually I love that reaction. Yeah. Like, I love that reaction. I'm a big Brad Pitt guy.
Me too.
How could you not be, right? Yeah. Just so many. I just actually recently saw, over the holidays, Bullet Train.
Mm. Oh, solid. Spoilers. Good movie.
No spoilers. Don't worry. You're not a monster. Also, though, that's a little too important. No spoilers. If it was that important, you'd watch it, okay?
Yeah, that's one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. That's what you're looking forward to?
It's been out for like 7 months, though.
Yeah. It's.
But I didn't know where to find it, and now I found it online, so it's, yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Fury's a really good movie, too.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
That's a very good movie.
Okay.
I'm just tossing out more Brad Pitt.
Is that the war one?
Yeah.
No, that one stinks.
No, that's a good one.
That's his worst one. My brother and I watched that one, the tank one.
Yeah.
No, that's genuinely, my brother and I watched that like a couple of Christmases together, and we were stoked for it. We sat there the whole time, both two Brad Pitt guys, and then just snooze fest the entire, no, you're awful.
No. I like that one.
Yeah.
His best one is Benjamin Button. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Pete. And kill Pete's mind.
Very emotional.
I'm tired of this already. Like, I can't take it. I'm trying to be positive vibes going on the weekend. I can't have this attitude. All right. So the juniors win. Awesome tournament. Really, really fun tournament. Fun game where the Czechs look good. And then Canada plays just Canada hockey for a couple of periods. We talked about with Fudo yesterday, right? How, hey, at times they haven't had that same identity as a lot of teams. I actually felt that they did. Especially in the second period. The second period was just awesome. Yeah. Third, they clearly played not to lose. And guess what happens? It's so predictable whenever this goes down, especially in a big moment, especially with younger guys. They get a bad bounce, but they kind of choked it. I don't want to take anything away from the team because I said it last night on Leafs Talk and we reacted immediately live to it. But I feel the same way, which is that the moment of the tournament is clearly the Bedard goal, right? Against Slovakia. That's what everyone's going to remember. Mm-hmm. The win is clearly going to be against the States. That game, the format for these gold medal games of having it go to 3-on-3 in overtime, it kind of robs all of us of real sporting moments. Like this whole tournament, we go, this matters, right? We're going, this matters. Oh, and that's how I felt watching the entire thing. This really matters. Mm-hmm. This is international hockey. We're getting Bedard. We're getting Shane Wright. We're getting a loaded team of guys that are going to play in the NHL. A whole swath. Swath? Swath.
Swath.
That's it. Whole swath of players that we're all going to know for a very long time. And then it goes into 3-on-3, and the game-winning goal is two guys in front of the net, you know, unabated to the goaltender. It didn't feel as right.
Yeah.
It kind of left me on a bit of a incomplete note. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Especially after Suhonek had played really well the entire game.
Yeah.
And then they lose in just a cross crease right in front of the net. I don't mind 3-on-3, but
just play 5-on-5 for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Why can't we do this? And they did the penalty shot. This is my take. I actually prefer the 5-on-5 for 20 and then going to
shootout.
Shootout.
Hmm.
over just purely 3-on-3 continuous forever. I don't even understand. They said it in the panel. They went, hey, it's continuous 3-on-3, but we don't think we'll see it past 20 minutes. I went, yeah, no duh. What's it going to take? It would have been a miracle. The fact that it even went as long as it did was kind of astonishing to me. Anyway, it's going to be remembered as the Connor Bedard tournament. There's just no doubt about it. And my hope is, and I'm going to talk about this with my Commodore fairly soon, is that, man, that we figure this out with international hockey really soon, because I'm craving it. It was so fun to watch our thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Even if you're not a fan of hockey, even if hockey, I think fairly so, has lost a bit of its place in this country, right? This was when I was growing up, it was hockey. I was an NBA fan growing up, both.
Yeah.
But it was weird for me to like the NBA. It was weird for me to be, like, I was in the vast minority. And I know other kids that were, like, raised in the 90s know what I'm talking about. If you liked the NBA, maybe not as much in Toronto, I don't know, because the team was actually here.
Yeah.
But everywhere else in Canada,
it was just hockey.
Yeah.
All hockey.
It was, like, a weird thing, and you still feel that, right? Like, Spit and Chicklets does the sick league thing about basketball. That's the way it is. There's a protectionism around the game. It was always hockey night in Canada. It was always on chair. It was just Canadian pride, Canadian sport, whatever. And now it doesn't feel quite like that. But even still, watching it, I went, hey, as sick as our basketball team is about to be at the Olympics, you know what it's not? USA basketball.
Yeah.
Right? I think we can all agree that, hey, it's taking an incredible step forward. It's not USA basketball.
Yeah, no. Definitely not.
Oh, we go to a baseball classic. We got an awesome team. We're way better than we used to be. Yeah, we're not the Dominican Republic.
No.
We're not the States. Okay? Remember the States looking at what their projected team would be for the World Baseball Classic and their outfield? How it was like, yeah, Mike Trout has to move off center field and go, right.
Oh, no.
That's kind of quick. Name Canada's center fielder. Everybody in the room, World Baseball Classic? Yeah, there we go. That's what I thought. Anyway, I'm just saying. It's not exactly...
And they have Mike Trout moving off.
All I'm saying is that we're taking a lot of strides in a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, we just had Josh Palmer on. What'd I say? He's the face of Canadian football right now. Him and Chase Claypool.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure... Was Claypool a first or a second round pick? Either way, Claypool is the receiver on the Chicago Bears. I think he was a second round pick. And Josh Palmer is the third receiver of the LA Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Who is your pick? Or one of your picks to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, my point is simply that this is our game.
Yeah.
We still developed the guy.
Yeah.
Connor Bedard, the player of the tournament, is still one of ours. Has the rest of the world caught up? Has the playing field become more level? Yes. But I actually love that. I love seeing a country like Czechia play the Canadian style of hockey where they're tough, they're in your face, they're getting pucks into the net, and they're just diving in there. Yeah. They're dying for it. I hated seeing the kids cry, though. That always gets me.
Yeah, no, I saw you guys always, talking about it.
That always gets me. It just stings. I hate it. It's the same thing with the tournament when I see seniors, especially in March Madness, when the seniors lose and they show the guys that have played their last
game
and you think about how much of studs they are.
Yeah.
That it's just, these guys are the studs of the studs, right? You go to any gym. You go to open gym. You've ever seen someone who you think is sick? Those guys are so much better than them.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even,
Yeah, I saw you guys talking about it on Leafs Talk last night, and like how like as soon as like the Czech kids came up and they were all like crying on the bench, like okay, we're just gonna change the channel.
Yeah, turn it off.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it. Yeah. I liked Czechia.
Are you saying Czechia?
Yeah, that's what they're called now.
Trip me out. It's Czechia.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. You're the
I hear Czechia,
authority on the show. I forgot.
Well, when you say that, I hear Chechnya. So
okay,
it trips
no,
me
hey,
out,
listen,
it makes me
I prefer
Russia.
To be corrected. How do you say it again?
Czechia.
Czechia.
Yeah.
Czechia yourself.
Czechia. I think it's cool. Czechia. I like the name.
I don't know why they move. I still am unclear as to why they moved off of Czech Republic.
I think it was just like because you know how like every country has like an Kingdom of Sweden type thing. So they just wanted to go by one singular name.
Sure, I just one day I woke up and everyone was calling them that.
Yeah.
And I went, when did this happen? And then when I asked the question, everyone went, it's always been this way. And I went, oh, sorry. I'll never ask any follow-up questions. Anyway, we're going to talk to Commodore in a second here, but... So the juniors win, great. Get more into it with him. But Leafs goalies, Jonas Siegel had this tweet last night. Since December 15th, you want to guess where they rank in save percentage?
Dead last.
Yes. So it wasn't a guess, you saw it.
I watched Leafs talk last night.
That's correct, you did.
I did.
Joe has all, hey, guess what? Way to be prepared, Joe. Other people were worrying about TikTok pranks. And like, what did you bring to the table today, Peter? Like, what have you got prepared for us this
afternoon? I'll also add, the Leafs have now slipped to 13th overall in the league after being top five just a couple weeks ago in team save percentage.
And team save percentage.
So they've dropped all the way to like mid-table in like a manner of what, 7 games?
Yeah.
It's not good.
I have a non-sourced Morgan Riley stat that I can't share because... I don't know where it came from.
So once again, our whole discussion this morning was about who prepares, and Joe is just here golden childing it. You know, gets he brought the apple today for the teacher, and you're here like, hey, Pete, what'd you bring? And he goes, I have a stat, but I didn't look it up. He's like, okay, nice.
I made something up.
I didn't bring my my positivity, though. You know, usually I try and give the positive vibes. You know, I'm refraining from being positive about that loss last night. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I can do for you today, JD.
I've said this all along. I think that the Leafs are a really good team. Even watching the Kraken for the first period where Toronto kind of dominated and it was just an ass-kicking. And the goalie cost them the game last night. Matt Murray was brutal. He was awful. Yeah. He killed him. The fourth goal that he let in genuine just... Yeah, it was a throwback to very bad times.
Yeah,
that's about as bad of a goal. The only goals that I think were worse this year... is the one that Schalgren let in, I think against the Penguins in overtime, where we thought, oh, okay, he's never going to play again.
Yeah.
Like, this is done.
Yeah.
And that one. Like, that's the worst one. That was horrific of Matt Murray to let in.
A really bad goal.
But I said this last night, too. I'm not freaking out about the goaltenders. I think it's going to be highs and lows. I've never believed that either of them was going to be a superstar. A lot of this was always about health with Matt Murray, and it was about stopping the pucks that... You know, like don't let in the bad ones. Yeah. Last night he let in the bad ones. It cost them. But yeah, just the environment that those goalies get to play behind is a good one. Leafs team defense isn't going to go anywhere. But I am starting to think that at the deadline, the priority is going to start to tick up for a defenseman. Gio is starting to look a step slower. Morgan Riley has been kind of rough since he's returned. But yeah, I still think that's what they're going to need. I always like bringing on guys who won. Guys who won because they... You know, this is what the Leafs are trying to do. Mike Commodore, Stanley Cup champion, host of the Clearing the Crease podcast. What's up, buddy? How we doing?
What happened to my Leafs last night?
I don't know, man. I can tell you, actually. Sorry, I shouldn't say I don't know. What happened? Well, first of all, no one saw it. Like, I host a Leafs postgame show, and I admitted immediately off the top, I was like, I watched the second period, okay? I watched the second period, and then I was right back on sweating it out with Canada, losing my mind that they blew the 2-goal lead. But, yeah, just their goaltender played poorly. And since December 15th, they've been the worst goalie tandem in the NHL, which is a bit of a troubling stat given that they're not asking them to stand on their head every single night, right? You know what? I do want to get into a lot of juniors talk with you, but let's just start here since we are here. How frustrating is it when you are playing in front of a goaltender who starts to, let in the leaky ones?
I think that all depends on where you're at in the season and how they're doing. I've got my Leafs stats up right here. 913 save percentage and 914 save percentage ain't bad. So everybody's allowed to have a bad game. God knows I had a bunch of terrible ones and there weren't too many people. I just got sent to the minors, but nobody yelled at me. So it never really bothered me. Everybody has tough games. I wouldn't worry too much about it, but I think the Leafs have been good. Obviously I've been a big fan of them since they canned, my best friend Babcock. You know what I've been impressed at, just in a nutshell? They can play some defense this year, defense, which that's impressive. If they were, you know, whatever, if they're the same amount of points as they have right now, but it was just scoring 8 million goals and giving up a bunch too, I wouldn't really love that. I like this a lot more.
Yeah, everyone comes on and remarks about the team defense, and it was something that started happening earlier on in the year, and we went, okay. And it's clear that they have a ton of buy-in from the forwards and that they've had a good mix on their blue line this year, and this is all in the face of losing Jake Muzzin to an injury when he was kind of supposed to be one of the stabilizing guys and has been for them for the last couple of years on the blue line. But, yeah, the reason why I asked the goaltending question is because I would imagine that for these guys it is especially frustrating or a little scary to see a roadmap of, okay, wait, so now we're trying to win the quote-unquote right way or a better way or a way that is at least more consistent with past winners of the Cup. We're getting this tremendous buy-in from our forwards. We're all, you know, just grinding through regular season. We've been down defensemen. Now we're playing some pretty responsible hockey. And I just would have a tough time. I know, you know, you guys are in a regular season. You played it. It's 82 games. It's on to the next one. But every once in a while, in a quiet moment, if I'm a player on that team and I see Matt Murray play a game like that, I'm thinking, boy, we're probably going to have to play Vasilevsky in the first round. And what are the odds our guy lets in goals like that versus their guy?
Right, yeah. Well, you definitely don't want that. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I would say if it continues, yes, I could see being, if it continues and the goaltending is shaky, then yes, I could see how the team would be frustrated where, you know what, we've changed how we play, we're better defensively, we are a better hockey team, but now this year our goaltending's a little shaky and we end up in the same spot and we're boosted in the first round again by Tampa or whoever. So that would definitely be frustrating. But like I said, I don't think it's time to hit the panic button quite yet. It's literally right in the middle of the season. This is usually kind of a tougher time of year between the years. So I hear what you're saying, but I wouldn't worry about it yet.
Yeah, I'm not overly worried about it. It is always funny when you talk to guys who, you know, don't live here. Like you, where you go, don't hit the panic button because you're so used to Leafs media. Leafs fans hit the panic button that we
just
as soon as we say, hey, so Mike, the Leafs, and you go, don't hit the panic button, buddy, just because we're always just hovering over it, just waiting. It's like, you know, it's like contestants on Jeopardy. Like, we're all just kind of like jamming it, like just waiting for it, just waiting to hammer that button as soon as the question is asked. You know, you brought up Babs.
The Kraken aren't bad this year, too. I will say that. The Kraken are. I would say they're probably, not to talk about Seattle because nobody really cares, especially out in Toronto, but the Kraken aren't bad.
Correct.
They're probably the year's biggest surprise. I thought they were going to be trash again, and they've been pretty good. So they're allowed to win the odd game too. And I would say a big part of that too also is everybody loves coming into Toronto, you know, because a lot of guys are from there. And, you know, Leafs is by far the biggest draw in the NHL to a point where the revenues, you have to take them off the scale. Otherwise, they skew the rest of the league. So it's a big game. And Seattle hasn't been in there often. Those guys haven't been in there often as a member of the Kraken. So that would, honestly, that would play a part too. Those guys would be ready to roll.
Yeah.
But anyways, on to the next subject.
No, but for sure. And we've been told this a million times, right? How much guys care. It's been very clear. The joke used to be, you know, Leafs TV Tuesday night to the Florida Panthers was a guaranteed loss because all those guys were like, hey, people are going to watch us. We're going to be seen. We're all from here. We got to win this. This is our cup.
Yeah.
And then, the Leafs would get completely boxed in. And you've seen that. Like, you'll continuously see that. That's just, I've always kind of liked it, though.
Yeah.
I love that guys come in here and they want to show out for their friends and family. And I feel horrific when there are moments where the Kings came in here this season and Sean Durzi, who's from here, who's actually drafted by the Leafs and traded, he has a moment where he gets into it. Who was it with Engvall? Yeah, it was with, I can't remember who he got into it with, but he gets booed by the entire crowd and his parents are in the stands. And I'm like, this is it. No, Toronto is a special place just for that. Like the fact that so many players are just from the GTA and grew up rooting for Leafs. Okay. You actually brought up Babcock, and we're doing this before we talk about the juniors. I was getting ready for this interview. I was thinking about stuff, and I thought, you know, I wonder what he did the day Babs was fired. Because, like, I think about, you know, like the Barstool head, Dave Portnoy. He keeps bottles of champagne on ice for when his enemies are fired. And I wondered, I was like, man, Mike Commodore, you must have said something that day.
I put in, so that day, I was actually working for Sportsnet that day. I have it in my phone. I should be able to remember the day, what day of the year it was. I have it in my phone. I won't say it's the hashtag FBabs, and I put the location is everywhere. So that's a daily or a yearly reminder in my phone. But I was actually working for Sportsnet doing morning radio that morning. And I was on from 6 to 9 here in Calgary. You know, I finished it up. And I would usually, I go to the gym and then I kind of have a little, like, nap or whatever. And I was just about to lay down on my couch for a nap. And my buddy, Teddy Purcell, who played Tampa and Edmonton and L.A., he messaged me. And I almost didn't look at the phone. And then I'm like, what is this? And I look, I'm like, what does Teddy want? And then I look, and he said something. He goes, you see the news? Babs fired. And I snapped up. I'm like, no way. And then I immediately proceeded to get hammered on my couch.
Yeah. I love it.
That was my day.
Dude,
I had a great day. I was in bed by like 5 p.m.
You know what, though? Sometimes that is the absolute best, right? The drinking during the day, but then, hey, I'm ducking out. I'm not extending this. I'm getting some greasy food
early. No, Yeah, I didn't. I never even put a T-shirt on. I just had a pair of sweats on. Yeah. I didn't leave the house. But I got after it on my couch. I was all over Twitter. Yeah. I was excited. It'd been a long time since I've been that excited, which in a way might be a little sad, but I don't care. I was pumped.
I'm jealous. I wish just one time I could just really drunk tweet, you know, just have a few drinks and just fire. Because that's always the fear.
You always can.
Yeah, I know you can. It's just that the next day I can't come in here. I'm going to be wiping my pass card and I'll go, yeah, you know why. And I'll go, and I pretend. I was just like, that's always the move whenever you get too drunk and make a mistake. It's like, huh? What? No.
You're like, what?
Yeah, I don't.
I had my phone.
I got to recall. No, I think I lost my phone, actually. I think someone took it. I don't have a password on it either.
It's a big type.
Yeah. So I hope no one took advantage of my trust in humanity is what I really hope.
Somebody did. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's horrible news. These things that they wrote are horrible. It's always funny, too, to me that you went from being a villain in Toronto to kind of a hero through the Babcock saga. You know this, right? Like, are you aware of this?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I am aware of it. In a nutshell, I don't talk about it that much anymore. Just because I did bring it up. Yeah, I mean, like, I started tweeting or whatever when he got hired, and mm-hmm. I was done. And to be honest, like, I mean, I was a little bitter at the time because I just retired. There's no doubt about that. But this went on, I don't know, how long was he there? Three, four years? You know, for mm-hmm. the first, like, year or so. Anyways, after a little while, I'm like, God, I'm just sick of seeing this guy's name. Like, I should have thought this through a little bit more because the Leafs have more fans than anybody else, and obviously they're passionate. And I look at my Twitter, I'm just getting teed off on.
Every day.
I grinded it out for every day, just getting smoked.
Yeah.
But I grinded it out for 3-4 years. I'll tell you what, it was a lonely battle. I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting roasted on Twitter again. Like, I mean, I hate this guy, but I don't really care that much, but I do hate him. But it was like 3-4 years of a lonely. I think that was part of the reason why I was excited. Maybe a major reason when he got canned, because I'm like, oh man,
justice.
Like, and what actually really saved me, what actually helped me in Toronto, anyways, with the Leafs fans was that Marner stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
That helped me, because then I think a lot of people, Leafs fans, kind of looked at that and were like, oh. Maybe there is something here. And I will say, I mean, that's not what I was looking for, but I will say, just from a personal standpoint, it did feel kind of nice when I would open up Twitter, look at my mentions, and I'd have the odd Leafs fan being like, hey, man, I went hard on you the last 3-4 years. Yeah. I just wanted to say sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, my bad. Hey, you had something. And I was like, oh, well, it makes me feel a little better. But anyways, that's in the past.
Yeah.
Leafs are good. I don't care what Babs is up to. We're good to go.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll ever, maybe at some point he'll try to make a comeback.
He's trying.
Yeah.
Don't let that fool you on his retirement or whatever.
Sure.
That's bull BS.
You know,
is what that is.
You know what,
every open job he's sniffing around in the background. I'll tell you that right now.
No, of course. But I was thinking about this even just last night watching the juniors. That was always a path back for guys, right? The famous coach, the guy with pedigree, and wins with the junior team and shows that he can work with young players, and especially for hard-ass guys, right? Sutters and Quinn, like the hard-ass coaches, hey, go work with the kids, show your friendly side, love of the game side. To me, actually, Babs' big mistake and the reason why it's going to be so hard for him to get back in isn't the Marner thing, right? Coaches have done far worse than that, like than what he did to Mitch. The mistake he made was being so unapologetic in the tour, like basically going, hey, I know who I am and this is all. And you went, oh, okay, so you're not going to capitulate at all to any of this. And I actually thought his post-firing media tour, when he first started to open things up again, that's where he buried himself, because he didn't gain one fan throughout that process. Not one person looked at Babcock and went, oh, wow, this guy, you know, he did kind of get an unfair, like, he did get an unfair shake, man. He was on the cover of some Toronto newspapers being fired and disgraced next to Bill Peters. Like, if I was his PR, I'd be pretty choked about that. I'd be going, hey, can we not differentiate the two things here? But no, he buried himself. He buried himself with the media, and I think it's going to be really, really hard for him to come back, and it's still going to take a little while. So the other thing about the Babs stuff, though, why I like it, and You did. You took the slings and arrows, right, from fans in this market, and not a lot of people would do it.
Took a beating.
Yeah, you did. You took a beating, all right? You took a beating, but it was fun. And a lot of the other markets liked it, right, because, hey, if you were a Red Wings fan, I'm sure you had other players reach out to you, especially given you've seen stuff. Yeah, I know.
Big time.
Yeah, exactly.
Big time.
When I saw the, I think it was Hossa on Spittin' Chicklets where he said, yeah, Babcock got a lot out of me 1 year, but that was it. Like, that was the end of that ever. And I went, okay, yeah, 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You took a beating.
As time went on and I was like tweeting, like there'd be, so there were some moments of when I was just getting piled on and beat up by the Leafs fans. I was like, man, I am getting, this is getting old. I don't care about this guy anymore. Mm-hmm. And I kind of mentioned it once in the radio here or whatever.
Yeah,
I'd
sure.
say something. And then literally every single time I'd have like there wasn't one player that like messaged me or called me and said, hey, you know, you should maybe stop, or it's probably enough. It was all keep going, keep going.
Okay.
There wasn't one person in any front office that ever, and I hang out with a few GM, not one of them said, hey, you should stop. It was like that, or didn't say anything at all, or laughed at it, or said, keep going.
Yep.
And then I would get like stories like, you know, I live in Alberta here, and I spent a little time in Saskatchewan, and, you know, I'd go to a golf tournament. I went to like a golf tournament in like, I forget where it was in Saskatchewan. Anyways, long story short, a volunteer there, nice guy, would come up to me and be like, hey, Mike, I heard you talking on the radio. You're getting a little tired. He's like, I just want to let you know that I love it. Here was my experience with Babcock. And they give like an example of Babs just treating people like absolute garbage. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to fire it back up again. And so he was... It's amazing that he kept it. I couldn't agree more with it. His media tour, when he started that, like, Rehab My Image tour, I mean, he took some shots at me or whatever, which is fine. I don't care. But I was reading some of the stuff, and I'm like, you know what? I'm like, this is awesome. Every time this guy opens his mouth, it's getting worse for him. Because there was literally, like you said, there was no apology. It was like, I'm the victim, poor me. And I'm like, this is perfect. Keep talking, Babs. You're digging your own grave.
And it's wild because most people learn that lesson young. Like, I remember when I was, like, in grade 10, I got in a fight. And the one kid apologized, and I started blaming him. And it was actually an outdoor ed teacher. And he let the other guy go. And he gave me, like, you know, a tongue lash. And I remember him telling me, like, you know why he got to go? And I don't know. He's like, because he owned it and you didn't. And I was like, oh. And that's it. It's just
lesson
like,
learned.
You got to take lesson learned. Ownership, right? And I'm grade 10. And
that's
you carry
right.
that through life. Yeah. And some people just
can't
don't get
blame everybody else.
Of course not. But you
can't
know what?
Blame everybody else.
But where I'm kind of going with this is people telling you, keep going, keep going, keep going. And this has been something that's been a bit of a point of fixation for me a lot lately. And it cropped up again last night because, and this is not the, you know, this is absolutely not to make any criticism of the kid. But Connor Bedard, they win the gold medal and he goes, we're not doing that right now. This is about the team. Awesome. That's pretty stock and standard with sports, right? Like someone doesn't want to be the attention when the team is winning. Like that is what it is. But in hockey, I do find when guys start to tell something that even has like a strong strain of truth, right? Because it's still your experience and Babcock might, you know, disagree with some of it and whatever. But that is your experience and some of those stories that some people have about him, like that is their fact. But in hockey, guys are really afraid of the backlash like no other sport, man. Like, yeah, of course there are players in every sport that don't want to have the smoke with the media, but your case is still so rare. Like I had Pronger on here the other day and he's another guy who just like isn't afraid to say how he feels about something, right? But it makes sense because he's Chris Pronger, right? And you go, okay. But there's so many go tell Chris Pronger to his face. Like, yeah. It's like he threatened to break a kid's arm on the junior team for doing the Michigan. I'm like, yeah. And I think he means it, so don't tell him what to say. But I don't know what it is. Like through a lesson like that, did you kind of feel like maybe some guys see that and go, you know what? It's not too serious after all. Like telling some stories and giving your opinion, like yeah, it can feel overwhelming at times when all of Toronto is in your mentions for a minute. But all of a sudden, like you come out the other side, and that maybe just what we need in hockey at times. For me, anyways, especially from. You know, former players and people that were around the game is just like more transparency with the stories and like what guys are like and what's going on, because it just selling the actual people makes the sport infinitely more interesting.
No, I agree with you. I do see both sides of it. Like, and it doesn't have to be like, I mean, my bad stuff was negative, right? But you can share like positive stuff too. Just you know, open up and be transparent about it. It doesn't always have to be negative. I do think, and that's a great, like, I don't know why that is. I don't know if indoctrinated is the right word, but it does seem as like, you know, I'd love to see like a Connor McDavid or, you know, somebody like that, like come out and like say something, you know what I mean? Like it can be positive. Like I'm not looking for him to be negative or anything like that, but it just seems like, especially with like the big name guys, it's like, man, I kind of keep hearing the same thing over and over again. And it gets, you know, it's like, okay, dude, like this is cliche after cliche. I do see also the other side, like, you know, cause I was with my experience with Babs or whatever, you know, I was telling some guys, I'm like, hey, I'm like, you know, who also had bad experiences with them. I'm like, hey, feel free to join the party here. Mm-hmm. It's a party of one. And some guys I get like, hey, you know, I work for a team or, you know, I'm looking for, okay, I understand that. Like I knew when I went off the rails there and ripping on Babs, I'm like, I had to be fine with, you know, there were going to be people that didn't know me in the hockey world that were going to be like, who is this guy? Well, what is he like? This is too much. Like, we don't want to hire him or whatever. But I do think, like I said, I hope that there are some, I guess the big one for me, like you talk about Chris Pronger, a guy on the same level, different player, but same level. Like I was begging Mike Modano, like, because his story's the one, like the 1,499 games played where I'm like, God, if that, like, I'm a journeyman, run-of-the-mill, not quite 500 game defenseman who was lucky to get what he got. Like, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best Americans to ever play. This happened to you. Like, people will, like, if you say something, people are going to listen to you. Like, it's not going to, they're not firing back, oh, you're a pylon, you were brutal. They're not saying that to you. They're not going to just think you're bitter. You had a great career. Like, but some people just won't do it. And that, you know, that was kind of, I don't want to say I wasn't disappointed, but I could have used the help. But no, you're right. It would be nice if we got like a little, I think the best word is like transparency. I don't think, you know, as long as you're being honest and you're not making stuff up, like to be a little freer and I don't know why that is. It's a great question, but no, it's been like that forever.
I know. And that's what I'm just kind of hoping changes a little bit, right? It's because it's strange right now. There's this like embracing of, and there's a debate, you know, about how Canada's been playing hockey, right, at the juniors. Hey, is this the Canadian way? Yeah. Did the Czechs play more like us than we are normally accustomed to seeing the Canadians play, which is a more physical game, you know, hard on pucks, sure, intensity. And yeah, the rumor was that when they showed up for game one, that the team had a bet on who would score the first Michigan goal. And I was like, oh my God, that's terrifying. Like, then it's over, you know, like,
oh boy,
this is all done, you know, like the Canadian hockey way is done. But there's this embrace of stylistic play with or expressing yourself or wearing outfits where I'm like, I don't really care what you wear to the arena, but I do care what you have to say about the game. And I would love to hear some of these players open up a little bit more. And I do feel as though this is the one thing that's missing from the sport right now when it comes to the growth of the game, and that eventually guys are going to have to take the reins and decide, you know what, who cares? If we're all kind of just saying stuff, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Even like, you know, JT Miller's been taking a pounding in the media for the last couple of days and by Canucks fans because he had a tough quote about how he's not cheating the game and that's why he doesn't have a lot of points this season. It's kind of a weird one. But it's like, no big deal. Guess what? JT Miller's still making his sheets. Like, he's still making good money.
Yeah.
He's still playing professional. Like,
I haven't
his
watched
life hasn't
a lot
changed
of Vancouver Canucks game, but he's probably telling the truth.
Yeah, maybe.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks.
That's what he thinks, exactly. And so it would be great to hear, and every once in a while we get a little snippet of Connor McDavid. He every little once in a while he gives a little leak of it, but it's usually something weird like offside rules where he got really mad that one time and I went, oh my God, he has things to say.
Right.
You know, I got all excited. Right. I went, oh, Connor McDavid saying something, gather around. And then the rest of the time, it just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I kind of blame Sid for some of it, where it's like I heard Sidney Crosby on Spit and Chicklets one time where he said like three things kind of interesting and I've locked them away in my heart for forever. Just, I shouldn't go guys' whole careers. I shouldn't go guys' whole careers without knowing anything about them other than like where they were from or did they buy a Tim Hortons cup in Rimouski one time for an arena worker. Like, it's just, I need more.
It would be, it'd be good for growing the game. Just, I mean, hockey's a little bit, you know, if you compare like hockey to like basketball or whatever, for just for a comparison,
exactly,
it's like hockey's a little bit behind the eight ball just in the fact that, you know, the game, you know, the basketball's a lot more up close and personal. Mm-hmm. Basketball, you know, you watch an NBA game, you know what the guy looks like, right? He doesn't have a helmet on. He doesn't have a bunch of gear on. And so, you know, it's a little more personal that way, where hockey, just by the nature of the game, isn't that way.
Yeah.
So if we could get to a point where we're saying a little bit more, I think that would help for sure. Just the cliches and stuff get old.
I know.
Like, real.
It really
when
does.
When they start firing them out, I just change the channel. I'm like, I don't need to hear this.
Well, that's it, right? Like, I want to get past the time where I see, and I know that some of this is on like me as an interviewer and us as media sometimes to do a better job of telling guys stories, and some people do it well, but it does suck sometimes when you see someone's being interviewed and you check in for 1 second and they automatically go into like, yeah, none of this matters, or I don't really care, or this is nothing. Like, dude, I asked, so the other, and I'm not trying to throw this guy under the bus because he actually was pretty decent, but this is like the bar of sometimes play. Yeah. But I had like Jason Robertson on the podcast like not too long ago, and I'm asking about, hey, you've got this point streak going, it's you and Mitch Marner, the first time ever you're playing your brother, you're playing Toronto, like, come on. And he's just like, it's just any other game. I'm like, please, like, come on, you can't, like, it's not any other game.
No.
You scored
it's
a goal.
It's definitely not any other game.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, just, like, it's okay to say I'm on fire. I can't wait to play my brother. I
exactly.
want to beat my brother.
I want to kick his ass.
Like, that's okay.
Yeah. He gives that soundbite. I want to kick my brother's ass tonight. And it goes everywhere. What's the downside to that, right? Like, what's the downside
to that?
It's nothing. It's perfect. It's great.
Nothing.
And it's like, I don't know why, but there's this weird thing where even showing that you care a little bit extra, that you get off level, opens you up to criticism, and guys just don't want to have that at all. And I hope we get past it. All right. I got to ask you about Bedard before we let you go. What do you think he is?
Sure. Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I was obviously very impressed. I've heard about him for a little while, and I've seen a little bit with him just because my dad scouts the Regina Pats, and he plays in Regina. So I've seen him a little bit. That was the most
Your
I've
dad's
seen him
really good at his job, eh? He's like, this guy is pretty good.
my dad scouted Connor Bedard and found him.
He was telling everybody, like, look out for this guy. And they're like, give him a raise.
Yeah. I don't know where, like, it's, I think he's going to be, I don't know. It's a tough one. I think he's an excellent player, obviously. I mean, I watch just like everybody else. I do think he's a special player. Like, I don't think he's like a Connor McDavid. You know, he doesn't quite have the blazing speed and everything, but with his vision. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a player to, like, compare him to. I probably should have thought about that before I came on. I can't come up with one across or just off the top of my head.
Some people say Mitch Marner with goal scoring. Some people are Jeff Merrick compared to Peter Forsberg, but smaller. He is just a guy who plays at a different kind of pace, right? And that's the Forsberg part of it that, to me, that, like, that's the part where I go, that's appropriate. Because you're right, he's not blazing fast. The stick handling is insane.
No.
But it's just like you watch him, and he's able to get to areas of the ice. And I'm watching, and I'll watch it on repeat, and I'm like, how did he? Like, I can tell he stick handles the puck very well, but I still don't even understand the ways that he's moving to get to some of these spots, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, he's got a nose for the net, right? Like, he's got a nose to get open. And
he can
when he's
it.
Making, shooting the puck, to be honest, when he rips it, I mean, I do think a little Steven Stamkos came to mind for sure. But I mean, I was impressed. I mean, he was moving. He was fun to watch. There's no doubt about it. I was actually pumped with the gold medal game where, you know, obviously Bedard was the focus and he was incredible and had a million points and for the entire tournament. It was nice to see, I think, in the gold medal game, some other guys get involved too.
100%.
Because it's like, man, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a team sport and it's like, we can't have everybody just waiting for Connor to do something here. Like, somebody else needs to do something, and it did happen, which was great. I thought that was a good game last night. It's tough. I don't know what else more to say about the kid. It, kind of a funny deal. Like, just 6 weeks ago, I want to say, something like that, I was in Arizona, and my dad texted me, and he's like, hey, how tall was – do you know how big Ray Whitney was when he was in junior? And I'm like, the man, and Ray Whitney torched junior. Ray had a great career. I mean, he wasn't like a superstar, but he had a good career for sure. Mm-hmm. Like a really good career.
No, really good career. Points. I was going to say,
played,
how many years did
forever.
He play?
Yeah, like Ray was awesome. 23 years in the NHL.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And I'm like, I don't know. So I asked Ray, I text Ray and ask him, and he's like, I was 5'9", 160 or whatever he said, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do you ask? And he's like, well, he's like some of the guys around here, some of these scouts that I'm hanging out with, and they don't think Bedard's big enough to be good in the NHL. I'm like, and now after this tournament, I'm like, I'm going to message him today and be like, hey, what are those guys saying now? Do they still have concerns? I think he's going to be just fine.
That's
he'll be fine.
We were joking about this. Like, Fantilli looks good too. Like, you'd be lucky to have a player like that. But it's going to be tough look for anybody that was in their, you know, scouting room that was pounding the table for him at the end of this year, was going, I think this is still going to be a debate. We should keep our options open. You're going to look at that guy on your scouting staff and be like, hey, we're replacing him with Mike Commodore's dad, all right? He's coming on the team.
Let's get Wayne Commodore in here.
Like, he's coming in here now. He saw
Wayne
the
can really identify talent.
Yes, he 100% can. Hey, Mike, this is always fun, man. I can't wait to do it again. Keep watching. I'm going to say our Leafs, all right? You and I, like our Leafs, because we definitely want to get you back again soon.
Sounds good, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
See you, bro. Mike Commodore, Stanley Cup champion, host of the Clearing the Crease podcast, and son of Wayne, the man who identified Connor Bedard.
The man who found good. Connor
Gave
Bedard.
Him the check mark. I like what he said about the other guys getting involved. I especially liked it for Shane Wright. And I will say, Shane Wright has been taking it on the chin.
Yeah.
And he's been, there have been more than a few people, former players, people around the game, whatever, commenting on Shane Wright. Mm-hmm. And they've been taking kind of like little cracks at him, whatever. Hey, maybe he should have slipped further in the draft. Enjoy wearing a Canada sweater. It's the last time you're going to wear one. How is this guy the captain? Yep. But, like, where is Shane Wright? Is he, like, these are some of the things that I have heard.
Yep.
And he scored a gorgeous goal. He was around for that game. And I really loved how happy he was for Connor Bedard in the postgame. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool. Cool birthday present for him. Cool moment for him. Because, yeah, it's been a pretty tough World Juniors for him.
Yeah.
And also, I think that a lot of these players, because of Bedard, are going to be more Canadian household names now and are actually going to have hockey brand recognition, which is good for everybody. And this was a byproduct of like the 05 team and other famous Canadian junior teams.
Yeah.
09, where the peripheral players become a little bit bigger in the landscape of hockey in this country just because they were part of this. And I think that you're going to see that a few years from now. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back and let's, we're going to start with a couple picks, but I'm frustrated that we can't have a meaningful conversation about this new playoff format thing. That's next.
Everything Raptors before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's been a really, really tough week for sports. Like, everybody's been on hold waiting to see what the health of DeMar Hamlin is going to result in. Great news. He's obviously progressing now. I think everybody loves that he woke up and wrote down asking, did we win?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently his father gave a speech to the Bills about his health and trying to kind of help them refocus on the rest of their season. That went over extremely well in the Bills locker room. He's got no neurological damage, which is incredible. You couldn't be more thrilled for DeMar Hamlin. Who would be, I mean, this is kind of even stupid to talk about because it's like, yeah, it's so obvious, like painfully obvious. But that's why I don't understand why these two things aren't obvious as well. It's like, you know, I think that there's a little bit of trepidation from people to talk about these format choices and the divisional stuff because everyone saw the Skip Bayless tweet and they went, that's incredibly insensitive. And now people are kind of trapped in this mode of, when are we allowed to talk? So the playoffs are going to happen. Are we allowed to talk about the football? Yeah, like, can we do that yet? Is this time? Like, when is the time? Like, and frankly, for some of these guys, it's going to be a little while. Like the Bengals, I think Joe Burrow said that half the guys, if they said, hey, are you going to want to play this week? They would still say no. I don't think that you're just going to get over that, nor should you as a player, nor should you as a fan, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can feel however you want to feel about it.
Yeah.
But also, football is going to continue forward. And I kind of thought that the way that the league, and they had to do it, but it sort of just, like, slipped under the news cycle. They were like, hey, they're not going to play this game. There's a good chance now that the AFC Championship game is going to be a neutral site game.
Yeah.
The Bengals have now just won the division.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, it was a long shot if you're a Ravens fan anyways.
Yeah.
But, and now it's also going to be a pretty, just about impossible task for the Bengals to host an AFC game.
Yeah.
Like their game against the Bills is kind of rendered irrelevant at this point. They would need both a win and losses. No, Chiefs and Bills losses.
Bills loss. Yeah.
for them to be the one seed.
Yeah. A lot of hoops to jump through.
A lot of hoops.
Yeah.
There was never going to be a perfect solution to any of this. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get it. The random number generator thing. Like, they just sort of floated these things out there and went, hey, what about this? What about what random number generator?
They're just sitting around the table.
You're
going to
make these guys play 18 weeks and then random number generator it?
I wonder, like, imagine if they do that. They have, like, a big, like, game show for it.
Yeah.
Random number.
This is my true feeling about it, though. Mm. The Bengals got screwed more than anybody else because the Bengals in an elements game are, in my opinion, the best suited to win. And this is the sneaky truth for the Buffalo Bills. This could be good for you. You playing, if it's in Indianapolis, indoors, with your fans that travel.
Yeah.
Like, Chiefs are closer. The Chiefs are closer. So they would get probably more fans. That's the rumor, right? Indianapolis, you're making a face MVP.
I'm just listening to what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
Indianapolis,
and then Ford Field as well. Like, they're wondering why Ford Field is an option, like people online.
Yeah. Well, if it's Ford Field, that's a Bills home game.
That's a Bills home game.
Bills fans are going to travel for this, okay? Yeah. Like, they're going to show up. If they make it to an AFC Championship game, neutral site, which is what we're, you know, looking at here, I think that would suit what they do better than any of the other teams. Like, it's so funny because they got Josh Allen for the elements, his arm and his running, which are both true. But they're an indoor football team. Like, that is the way that they are designed to play more that way than the other two teams. So if I'm them, I'd much rather have an indoor game where my fan base is going to show up and pack one of these stadiums. Chiefs fans are rabid. Maybe I'm underestimating, especially given the proximity, especially if it is in Indianapolis, whether they'll do that or not.
Yeah.
Although it's...
I think given all that's happened, though, with, like, the Bills and everything, it'd be hard to believe that they wouldn't show up.
No, they're going
to
show up. My point is that I don't think that this is... If I'm a Bills fan, I'm not feeling bad about this at all. I'm feeling completely fine. Yeah. If I'm a Bengals fan, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm a little perturbed by it.
Yeah.
That's all I would say.
Well, I saw Bengals fans last night were irate.
Yeah, Bengals fans deserve to be irate. And Joe Mixon was pissed about it anyway. Nobody was, you couldn't make everybody happy in the situation. It was an imperfect thing.
Yeah.
It's a very obviously, you hope this ends up being something we only see once in our lifetime with DeMar Hamlin in the first place.
Yeah.
And so I don't believe this whole, like, I've heard people do the, this is precedent setting. And I'm like, yeah, let's relax. No, okay. No. That's not it. So anyway, I just hate it.
Do you think this will, like, is this, like, for sure getting approved though? Like, cause there's going to be like a meeting today.
No, it's done. They're not leaking all this stuff. It's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. For sure. I would imagine so. Anyways.
It's going to take 24 votes to approve. Like, 24 teams have to
approve it. But guess what? They're going to get on board with this. They wouldn't have... I don't think that they would have shopped it around that hard without any other option. And if it isn't, then it is going to be, like, number generator. It's going to be tough. The Bengals will vote against it, and there will be a couple of teams that do, and then the vast majority are going to give the votes. Anyways, it's time for action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in on the action. Must be 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. I do want to ask Austin, our Titans fan, how he's feeling about this game. Because I got to tell you, I think the whole world is against you, Austin. Every single person has the Jags. It's Joshua Dobbs. You guys are pretty healthy. Derrick Henry got a bit of rest. But this is it for me. This is the Mike Vrabel game. I'm still sticking with my bet from yesterday. Evan Engram over. That is a lock for me. But I have gone a little back and forth on the spread here. Because of, we all loved Mike Vrabel, and now you guys lost a bunch of games, and now it's like Vrabel is done. There's no Vrabel talk anymore, and I kind of feel like, I don't know, it's a little spooky. I would say.
Exactly, JD. Everybody all year, they were like, you know what, when Mike Vrabel's counted out, that's so when maybe the Titans rise up, and you remember these Titans, the generic platitudes.
I love it.
Now is the time to prove that, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
You got a third-string quarterback. I'll say second-string, Malik Willis. Malik Willis might not be. But beyond the point, I think the Titans cover. I think the Titans win this game.
All right.
That's my best bet for the weekend. I think Titans go to the first round of the playoffs and get smoked. Absolutely destroyed in the first round. But they'll be there, not the Jaguars, everyone's favorite team all of a sudden. Where did all of this come from? Literally, name Fred Taylor. People don't even know Maurice Jones-Drew. Get out of here, you fake Jags fans.
Yeah. Austin had to wrap that up because he's about to swear. He's about to lose it.
I can hear it
in his voice. Like, doesn't know how to do insults without cussing. Does anyone else have a strong feeling about any of the Saturday games? We'll do Sunday games later in the show.
I think Christian Kirk goes over his receiving yards total of 54.5 because Titans secondary has been really bad. And Trevor Lawrence has been cooking lately.
You're picking something that's basically competing with
fake
me.
Fake Jag fan.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying the Jags are going to win. Yeah. Just saying.
I like over 40 points. I just think Derrick Henry getting some rest and being back. Must win game
like
for both teams. It's like
the
I
only thing
see
is
it being a shootout.
If the Titans win, I think it'll be low scoring and that it's the Vrabel defense that shows up. Bafo. You guys can have Chiefs Raiders too. Kind of wonder if the Chiefs go to sleep a little bit here against the Raiders, given that the. Like, they just need the win. I don't know. The 9.5, or actually, I guess it did move to 9, so it feels a little big.
That's where I was leaning is, you know me, the division games over a touchdown. I'm with you. I just think the Chiefs might lay down a little bit. Stidham was impressive last week.
I mean,
it wasn't like he rolled over. He blew up. He was really good.
Did you guys see the thing with Stidham where people were talking about how he knows McDaniel's offense? Because obviously he came from the Patriots, and it's just a bit of a shot at Derek Carr. Like, hey, this guy actually knew the playbook. And Davante Adams sort of walked back his Raiders thing. He said, I want them to hear what I have to say on this issue because it's a major impact for me.
Yeah.
But also, hey, Devontae, you might have come here for your best buddy, but it's done so.
Well, he said, like, I don't want to come in here and say nothing.
Had Jared Stidham stepped in there last week and looked awful, but if they have 2 weeks in a row where Jared Stidham looks pretty good and Davante Adams gets the rock, I don't know.
It's
going to be going
Carr.
To Derek Carr's house going, I can't believe they traded you. Helping him pack his bags.
Carr is a commander.
Yeah, phone buzzing with the new quarterback in his pocket. Anyway, quick, that was Time for Action brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in the action. Must be 19 plus. Must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly. Been a while. Ariel Helwani, next.
Big guests and bigger opinions on everything happening in Leafsland. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been a minute. Our next guest is he's far too busy for the likes of us, but he has made time. So we are just thrilled. Ariel Helwani of the MMA Hour. What's up, buddy? How are we doing?
My old friend, JD. How are you?
I'm good. It's like I said.
Very quiet over the last few months.
That's not true.
Probably because, you know, the Raptors are drowning at the moment. Buyers, sellers, who can be sure? Of course,
over
at the Mecca, the orange and blue, firing on all cylinders, as expected. Okay. So
firing on all cylinders into another amazing first-round exit. Like, wow, what a time. Yeah. What a time to be alive to watch the Knicks be slightly above 500 again.
I would love a first-round exit.
Yeah, of course.
I would be over the moon.
That's what I mean.
Like, give me a playoff game at MSG. Come on. Yeah. I'll take it. No problem.
Yeah, of course.
We didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
I mean, so did you guys. You got swept, all good. But, I mean, you know, we can get in there and get a win.
It wasn't a sweep. The Raptors beat Joel Embiid and James Harden, two future Hall of Famers. They took two games from him without Scottie Barnes. Like, they were right there. They were right there. Shorthanded Raptors, gutted it out. Tough team. Yeah, maybe not so much this year. Maybe not gutting it out all the time this season. But last year, boy, that was fun. Made them believe. Made them not sell. No, Raps, it's a little bit quiet. But there's no confusion, buddy. They're sellers. They're absolutely sellers. Right. I think the bigger thing is the Knicks, how different they could have been had you guys actually made a trade and gotten Donovan Mitchell, right?
I can't defend that. They will regret that for many years. That is going to haunt them. I couldn't believe that it was right there. And how often have we seen over the past few years a superstar begging. I mean, like, he wasn't even being subtle with his flirtation. Like, he's there at Mets games. He's sitting front row at Rangers games. Like, he's just begging to come home. I know he's from Greenwich, but that's essentially home. Mm-hmm. Begging. And I would have given them everything. I really would have. And I hate to say it, that includes RJ.
Oh, of course.
Well, as much as I love him.
I hate that you cut me off because that was a trap, obviously, that I was trying to set for you where I went, you're saying RJ Barrett isn't what you thought he would be because you desperately wanted to be in that trade. But, yeah.
Listen, As a Canadian, I think we all want him to be that guy. I mean, I think even you want him to be that guy.
Yeah, but we don't need him to be that guy anymore because we have Shea, and he is that guy.
Shea is that guy. He is him, as they say.
He is him.
Man, did I wanted Donovan Mitchell so bad. I just love Donovan Mitchell as, I mean, he just seems like a great guy. He seems like the kind of guy that you want your kids to have his jersey. He just seems like a rootable athlete, if that's a word. A lovable guy, seems like a great leader. He's doing great. I love what the Cavs did. I think they're a great team, a great story. And yes, that one I wish that they could take back.
Yeah, at least the Knicks tried, though. You know, at least the Knicks tried. And they got in the conversation, and then ultimately, I can't remember what exactly, because I'm pretty sure the Knicks offered 2 first-round picks and R.J. Barrett. And then there was some other, like, peripheral pieces, maybe Obi Toppin, something else along those lines. And ultimately, the Cavs came back to the Cavs went over the top of the offer. The Knicks didn't up it because they felt as though they had the best offer, that it was inevitability, that Mitchell wanted to be there, blah, 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 blah. Utah ends up taking the Cavs offer because the Knicks didn't go up a notch. The worst one is if you're a Raptors fan, because Mitchell would have really, 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 really helped this team. And it was a harder kind of trade to figure out what exactly would have gone the other way. But word is that they didn't even really entertain it because they didn't like that Mitchell doesn't play defense. I went, okay,
well,
he can score 71 points, so maybe figure out the rest of that. This is a league where teams can score 170, a league where guys are now routinely scoring 50 points. It's a score-first league. That still, to me, is, like, if I could just get the truth behind this Raptors offseason and what's going on with them right now, that would be at the very top of the pile for me, is how seriously did you explore Donovan Mitchell? Because it's sort of outrageous that they just abandoned it and decided, you know what, who cares? We'll figure something else out in season.
Yeah, and no, shame on every team that didn't explore it.
Yeah.
There's a few guys that I wouldn't have traded for him. You know, I wouldn't have traded Jason Tatum for him. I wouldn't have traded Giannis for him. KD, I mean, I don't know, maybe probably not, but like all those other teams in the East, they all should have been having those conversations, from, you know, Trae Young to Zach LaVine to everyone in between, right? They all should have been having those conversations. And, you know, kudos to the Cavs for pulling the trigger. By the
way, it's gonna look like a steal.
I hate the Pacers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I hate the Pacers, but man, like, look at what they've done. And I'm programmed to hate the Pacers, but I love this Bénédicte Mathurin of Montreal. I mean, man, I can't wait for 2024. Canada basketball. I know you're not having me on to talk about Canada basketball.
Actually, I am.
But I'm very – oh, wow. Okay.
You're on to discuss whatever you want. Like, we have some things on the agenda. But, no, I definitely wanted to talk to you about the Knicks today, because it's actually a pretty fascinating Knicks season, because, like, you already lived this, essentially. Like, you had the awesome Julius Randle year where the team was a little above 500 and you went, hey, we really want to make the playoffs. The Randle bounce back in New York is astonishing to me. Like, watching him in the huddles last year, watching him, you know, cuss out teammates and basically quit on the team, and me go, remember when people compared this guy to Pascal Siakam? Oh, my God, that's one of the worst comparisons that's ever been made. And what would the Knicks have to do to get off of that contract? And how desperately are they going to try to explore that to, oh, Julius Randle's good again, and this Knicks team has bounced back into the exact same form? I still, as good as Brunson has been, and he's a step up from what they had on that other iteration of them when you were excited a couple of years ago, I still have a tough time seeing what that next step is for New York. Because, yeah, Barrett is a good piece, a fine piece, somebody who's gotten apparently a new shooting stroke. He's been working with his shooting instructor on changing that a little bit differently, and he's been more efficient since then. But he is kind of like one of those, you know, B prospect types where a team could sell themselves on him, but they're not going crazy. They're not, like, there's not a bunch of teams that are, you know, chomping at the bit to try to get RJ Barrett. And so you got to throw first round picks in. That hasn't historically worked out for the Knicks. Are they good enough? Like, I just don't know where they go from here outside of just us all pretending like they're the number one free agent destination of all time, and that's going to solve all their woes.
No, because they haven't been, but they're certainly a lot more attractive, I think, when they're playing like this. And, you know, I was the one who said I loved what he did 2 years ago, and I was the one who said, all right, we're going to find out this year if 2 years ago was the anomaly or if last year was the anomaly. And we're finding out, at least for now, when he is motivated. And by the way, when you went through like his list of transgressions, maybe the worst of all was he went after the fans.
Yeah.
Like, he did the thumbs down to the fans.
I forgot about that
one. You do that to, Remember that? You do that to the fans of New York at MSG. There's no coming back from that.
I was going to say, he's not really loved, though, right? He's like, people, my sense is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, because you're far more the Knicks fan pulse than I am. Like, I've asked you for suggestions on, you know, what Knicks fans blogs to follow, blah, 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 blah. But my sense is that Knicks fans are enjoying Randall and that they're rooting on this team and blah, blah, blah. But he's not loved. It, like, that first year Randall broke out, Knicks fans were losing their minds for him. And now it kind of feels like Brunson is the beloved player there. And Randall is sort of, hey, maybe if you put him in a trade tomorrow, I don't think that most 100%. Knicks fans would cry.
100%. 100%. Yeah. They are loving this and they're showering him with the MVP and that's all expected. But they don't have that same, I mean, he's not Ewing or anyone like that. No, nowhere near close. He's not even Oakley. He's not even Starks. He doesn't feel like one of our own.
He's not even Anthony Mason.
Not at all. He was beloved. Yeah. Partially, by the way, because of last year, because of the thumbs down, I think there are still some hard feelings about that. And you're right about Brunson, by the way. Brunson is a big reason why. Having that point guard who I think is worth the money, obviously everything is inflated now, but I do think he was worth the money, and I think he has paid off in the first half of the season. Having that leader, having that floor general, we really haven't had that guy in 2 decades, and I don't even count Stephon Marbury because he was a total bust, and I wasn't even happy about the trade when they made it. I wanted them to keep Bacic Lampi. Look it up. Point is, having that guy is great, but also Brunson, believe it or not, feels like more of a New York guy even in just a few months because of his dad, because he's from the area. His dad played for the Knicks in the 90s. He was a mainstay on the bench on those Ewing teams, Rick Brunson. So they love Brunson. Like, I think they would be sadder about Brunson leaving than Randall.
Oh, a million percent. Yeah, no, of course.
And Barrett is someone, you know, it's been so long that we've had a homegrown guy, so to speak, and someone that we drafted and re-signed. There is, I think, a connection to Barrett, but it's nothing like it's not deep, right? Dying on the Barrett Hill. No one's dying on the Barrett Hill. No one's taking a bullet for him, so to speak. Like, yeah. The connection isn't quite there just yet. And by the way, if we put a little bit of respect on Tibbs's name, like, people were starting to be like, oh, this is the classic Tibbs, you know, trajectory. You know, playoffs in year one, fizzle out in year two, fired in year three. And also saying, like, he doesn't play the young guys. Well, he's playing Deuce McBride. He's playing Quentin Grimes. He's playing Jericho Sims. He's playing the young guys to a degree. So I feel like Tibbs deserves a little bit of respect as well.
Yeah. All right. He gets a little bit of respect. But again, it's just, to me, they've just fallen right back into where they were. They have Brunson, but they have less cap space. They don't have a ton of flexibility. And I'm not really sure who the star is that is going to become available to them that gets flipped. Like, there's Damian Lillard. What? Portland's fine. You're gonna trade RJ and a bunch of firsts for Dame in a massive contract? And it just, yeah, there's a little bit.
I'm not even worried about that, man.
I guess.
I'm not even worried about that.
I guess.
Give me six. Put me right back to where we were in, 2 years ago. Put me right back there. That was the most disheartening thing about last year. I was like, wait a second. I thought we were sort of coming back, and then you guys flamed out and were playing uninspired ball. Just put me right back there.
Yeah.
I just want meaningful basketball in April. That's all I want.
All right.
I just want to go back. Like, we were so irrelevant for so long and rudderless. I don't care about Dame. I don't care about what would it be nice. Sure. But, like, can we just, like, become a respected, you know, organization?
Yes. Sure. That's it. Sure. Hey, and usually it's just consistency year over year is what's going to build the Knicks up maybe to a free agent where they say, hey, this has actually been stable now for a couple of seasons. This has been quality for a couple of years. Hey, right. They aren't just shipping guys out right away. Sure. I guess where all of this was kind of heading is it even worse to be a Knicks fan right now, having a team that is sort of what you thought it was, having it be pretty good, but missing that star caliber player who could have played next to Brunson like Mitchell and missing out on it? Like, I know you're also obviously a fan of Bill Simmons. You do work for The Ringer, and he did this podcast recently I listened to about all the Knicks screw-ups and where he kind of put the Mitchell miss. And I thought, you know what? It's pretty appropriate, even for a franchise that's made a lot of mistakes, that not upping that offer just a touch and having a Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson backcourt with the resurgent of Randall and the way that these guys have played this year, it would just sting. It does. It, like, sits there. And I got a passive interest in the Knicks. I don't love them, but Yeah, they've just kind of one of those harmless franchises that has history and that I always kind of root for bounces.
Wow. The league is better when they're relevant.
Exactly,
right?
Of course.
It's better for everyone.
Man, what was one of the most fun things from the last year? Bing bong. That was so fun. And, you know, I can't say it on my show. Maybe you say later on, you know, your potty mouth program, but, you know, the F. Trey Young stuff, right? Like, that was amazing. Yeah, I love that. By the way, do you think that last Hoops won? Do you think that, so there's some smoke of Trey Young wanting out?
Yeah,
how
can
good?
You imagine?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Doesn't your wrestling brain think that that's like the perfect scenario?
Oh, it'd be incredible.
Yeah,
and I would be, you know, I'd be interested in seeing like what the deal is. And by the way, talk about him. I mean, Luka for Trae Young. Wow. Mm. Not to suggest that Trae Young is a bust by any stretch, but you know, I didn't understand that. I still don't understand how Luka was the number one overall after everything we had heard about him for so many years.
Yeah,
but that would be incredible. I'm trying to think of like what the you know, what the wrestling equivalent to that would be, because he's like a monster heel and then he would become a baby face. It would be sort of akin to a degree, not as bad, but like Johnny Damon then going from the Red Sox to the Yankees and shaving his beard and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You went real sports though. You went real sports. I was waiting for this wrestling reference that I wasn't fully going to understand. And then you went with one I fully did. And I went, it took me by surprise a little bit.
I'm a big soccer pundit now. I don't know if you know this, but Luis Figo, leaving Real Madrid, I think was a big one.
Yeah. He's our resident soccer guy. What do you think, Luis Figo? Is he correct?
I would say that's correct.
Okay,
yes.
You're a stat. Yeah, I just need you to fact check Ariel's soccer takes here. Okay,
am I right? Well, that was a big one.
It was a big one. He was hated for that.
Fact checker Joe. I just making sure because listen, I'm Canada's number one soccer fan, but I have no idea beyond that. Like now, I'm out. Like I'm not. Who's your club again? What's the?
You're missing out. Nottingham Forest.
Right.
Nottingham Forest. They're incredible. Massive 3 points on the road on Wednesday against Southampton. We return tomorrow, FA Cup against Blackpool. I mean,
wow. Blackpool, you guys think you can beat them?
I think we can. I think we can. I feel very good about it. The conversations, by the way, JD, that are happening behind the scenes regarding me and Nottingham Forest and me and darts. I don't know if you've been following the darts.
Yeah, I've been following the darts.
Week.
I saw you went darts viral. Can I actually make a confession to you that I've been hiding for a very long time and that I need to tell the world?
Please.
I don't understand darts. I don't understand it.
Oh,
I don't know what's going on.
Neither do I.
I'm watching it and they're doing the scoring and everyone sent that video around of, can you believe this happened? And I went, I have no idea what happened. Why did they switch it from going for the 20s? I'm such a idiot when it comes to darts. I'm still not exactly sure why bullseye isn't best after our whole lives. We were told bullseye is the best. Like I suck at bar games. I'm terrible at pool. I'm terrible at darts, which is horrific given the amount of times that I've spent in pubs. I have no idea what's going on. I missed out on all of that. I would love to go to an event like that. It looks incredible. I want to know what's going on so that I can feel more like a sports guy, but I have no clue. Like they do, what do they yell? What's the thing? I don't even remember. Is it like 180?
Listen, I don't know what you're I still don't understand. I asked my friend in Ireland who got me into this, and I was like, explain to me why they're not going for the bullseye. He gave me a whole long explanation. I was like, I still don't understand.
No.
What is going on here? But it's the emotion. It's the enthusiasm. These people go dress up at Ali Pally venue. It's unbelievable. And by the way, like if I tweet right now about anything other than MMA, like if I tweet about the Knicks, if I tweet about the NBA at large, if I tweet about the Bills, if I tweet about hockey, you know, engagement, so. If I tweet about darts, I mean, I have a video, a 45 second video that I tweeted has a 1.2 million views.
Yeah.
Who knew that there was such a crazy dart fan base?
Yeah.
And now they're reaching out to me and they're like, come to MSG for the North American Championship. Like,
you have to.
I don't even understand what's so good about it.
No,
but
you have
amazing.
To.
I just tweeted a video of the Italian broadcast, and they're going nuts for that nine darter. Whatever the hell a nine darter is, I don't even know, and I love it. By the way, the guy who won the whole thing, Bully Boy, Michael Smith, the guy who got the nine darter, the guy who won the championship with the Mohawk.
Yeah, the nine darter.
He reached out to me, and he's like, oh, man, that's so awesome you talked about me on the show. It's like, man, I was starstruck. I was like, please come on my
starstruck.
Show. Coming on my
you
show
were starstruck.
On Monday.
You're like, hey, I didn't know who you were, and I don't really know what you did, but I'm starstruck by you, Michael Smith.
Yes.
Yes. I
yes.
love it.
And he's coming on the show on Monday because he lives a block away from Patty Pimblett.
Well, guess what, though? You got to, if he's coming on the show, you got to set up the board, and you got to have him rip darts on your show.
Yeah.
No, you have
to.
No, you
have to. Not in studio. Not in studio.
Oh, he's not in studio.
He's going to be in Bahrain.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah, bummer, yeah. Because I was going to say that if you could get him in studio, having him do, like, trick shots with the darts is, like I got to see that. You know what, though? This is a great, great avenue. Ennis and I learned this for a little bit. Obviously, F1 took off to just such an extreme degree that now it's oversaturated, although now people are basically out on F1. It's behind darts. Darts is the new hot thing in the street.
Really?
Well, no, I think people are in on F1. I love F1. So do you. But I will say that the last season of Drive to Survive, Max Verstappen basically saying, I'm not going to be a part of this, it stung. And that since then, F1 having the policy of like, hey, actually, no more statements, no more political statements from anybody that are approved by us. And just, yeah, I think that the general state of Mercedes, there's just a lot of reasons that F1, I think, fell off a little bit. But we need the next season. Other sports came back. The market is very saturated, blah, 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 blah. There's a moment that can be had with darts. And if you just go into it with, I'm the darts guy and I would like to learn and I'd like to go to these events, I think that there seems to be some darts money kicking around, Ariel. Like, just saying.
Yeah, and by the way, you talk about Drive to Survive and what that did for F1. Like, there's characters in this sport.
That's it.
Or if you call it a sport. You know what I mean?
Like, I'd rather watch Drive to Survive for darts than I would for the PGA.
Oh, yeah. Because these guys are quirky dudes. Like, so none of them are, like, they're not in good shape. They're just, like, regular Joe Schmoes who are trying to, you know, make it playing a bar game or what we've been told. You know, Eddie Hearn, who's a longtime boxing promoter who's extremely successful over in the UK with Matchroom, his dad became famous and rich because of darts. Matchroom, the boxing promotion, originally started as a darts only promotion, and then they grew and grew and grew, and then they got into boxing, et cetera, et cetera.
See, look at you, darts historian.
There's a great story to be told. By the way, speaking of story, can I just ask you your opinion on this? Am I crazy for saying this statement? Because I'm sitting on at my desk here, and a tweet just came by from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, and he said for the first time, Bills safety DeMar Hamlin is addressing the team via FaceTime.
Yeah, he's off the tube.
And he spent the morning speaking to various teammates. Can I ask you this? Is it crazy to say that maybe one of the greatest stories that we'll see, I don't want to say in our lifetime, our year, I don't know, but like, is anyone rooting against the Bills at this point to win the Super Bowl? Like, would that not be one of the greatest things of all time? And I'm saying this as a lifelong Bills fan. If they can find, after the year that those people had, after the shooting in August, and I'm not trying to minimize that at all, but that community has been through so much, the deadly storms, this, the Pegula family going through their own health issues, and way down the list, you know, Von Miller, Micah Hyde being all that stuff that these guys have been through. And now this, and this guy recovers DeMar Hamlin. Would there be a greater story in NFL history than them winning and handing him that trophy at the parade or something like that? I get chills just saying it. Agree or disagree?
I think that they are definitely the team that passive NFL fans are rooting for. Like, for me, the Seahawks are probably not getting in. I'm rooting for the Bills. But I was already kind of rooting for the Bills. So it's harder for me to say it because I was already in on Buffalo. I think that this is, if I'm going to be honest, I think that some of the NFL fans are a little pissed that this football game is never going to be played. And now that they're going to have to do, you know, like whatever the hell the scenario is for this AFC championship. And I think that if Buffalo wins at a neutral site and they do go to a Super Bowl, it won't be universally received as the greatest thing of all time. Most people are going to be rooting for Hamlin, especially like he's going to show up, like he's doing well. And everybody likes Buffalo and they like their fans and they like, of course they don't. But I think if they play it at a neutral site game, there will just be some conversations about how it wasn't fair or how this happened and blah, blah, blah. And I think that will undercut it. I'm just telling you what I think will happen.
No, but are there people who believe that?
Well, here's what I said earlier. I think that two things can be true. One is that you can be like the NFL did unequivocally the right thing, canceling that game. It should have happened even faster than it did, but I'm not even going to criticize them for it because it was, yeah, just a completely unprecedented, terrifying moment. Like everybody was just completely, I think paralyzed with fear that we were going to see someone lose their life. We were grief stricken for the football community, for his family. All these different things happened. It was a very powerful and emotional night. It was an emotional. It's been the entire time. Like Joe Burrow said that his team, half of them aren't even prepared to play football yet. Like if they were going to opt out of this next game, and it's against the Baltimore freaking Ravens, that they wouldn't be ready for it, right? You've already seen Pete just showed me, like Joe Mixon is pissed about the playoff format. And so I do think that if the Bills get out of it, like if the Bills are in a neutral site game and they beat like the Bengals or they beat the Chiefs, and people are going to wonder what would have happened. And it's just going to happen. That's football fans, man. And I don't blame people for caring about their team and think, as long as you think that the NFL did the right thing in canceling the game, like, I don't think that you can really quibble with that take, but I do believe that, yeah, you're allowed as a football fan to care about your team not being at home or whatever and be a little bit gripey about it or not openly root for the Bills if you're a Bengals or a Chiefs fan.
Well, obviously, if you're a lifelong Bengals fan, I'm not going to say that you're just going to, like, change allegiances, obviously.
Sure, but when are those teams going to switch off their Twitter profiles? They're going to be going all the way to the Super Bowl with, you know, Bills player on their site.
I'm just saying, in general, if we could just take a step back and take off all our fan hats, and I am biased. I'm 1,000% biased.
Of course.
Speaking about this, I just don't know. Like, when I was reading the stuff yesterday about him writing, "Did we win?" I legit started to cry.
Yeah.
I was crying on Monday when I saw their faces. It's just like this. And you know, for me, and maybe no one cares, like I don't consider myself a football fan. I'm not going to watch, you know, Jets Cardinals on Monday night. I'm not going to watch Titans Jaguars.
I'm a Buffalo Bills. You proved you're not a football fan with that reference. Yeah, that's a
I know. I'm a Bills fan. So like I don't know the equivalent of DeMar Hamlin on the Seahawks. I don't know who that person is. You tell me his name. I don't know. Exactly who DeMar Hamlin is because I watch every single one of their games. I have Sunday ticket just for the Bills, which is kind of a waste of money because a lot of their games have been, you know, prime time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But point being, just so I don't miss the one or two that aren't. Of course. So I watch it and I'm like, man, I know this guy. And so it felt very personal. And now to see him bounce back and to see Josh at the press conference yesterday, Josh Allen and Sean McDermott get emotional talking about it. Oh, I said this to someone who I know who works for the Bills yesterday. My whole life, I wanted the Bills to win so I could know what it feels like for me. It was very selfish for me. I want to know what it feels like to see my team win the Super Bowl. I want to know what that experience is like. I no longer feel that way. Yeah. I just want them to win for Western New York. I want 100%. Them to win for those people. I want them to win for that community and for his family and for those players, man, because those guys have been through enough.
Yeah, I would say this, that drawing the lines to get casual people invested in the Bills is going to be pretty simple. Like, and that, yeah, I think that if they get into a Super Bowl, they are going to be, well, they're just going to be, yeah, they're going to be the casual rooting fan, not, you know, no emotional equity in another team. That's going to be who everyone's rooting for. Like, you really think people are going to watch Hamlin continue to FaceTime with the team? Or I'm guessing, given his progress, I'm hopeful anyways, that at some point he's on the sideline. You know how loud it's going to be? You know what kind of reception that's going to get online and what that's going to get around, like, from television viewers? Of course, like, who wouldn't? Especially given every story that comes out about this kid is just overwhelmingly positive in terms of what kind of, like, the character he has as a person. Like, this isn't, I don't want to reference anybody else, but I was going to say that a certain guy that played for the Cowboys and then is in MMA right now. Like, it's not like that, right? This is a, by all accounts, stand-up dude. So, yeah, I think the Bills are going to be popular. They do feel like Team of Destiny now. Like, there's no doubt about that. I think that they're going to absolutely, like, they're going to trounce the Patriots this weekend. Like, I think that's going to go down. What, you don't think so?
Oh, no, I like, there's Bills fans always say Bills by a billion.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be Bills by 2 billion.
Yeah, no, it's...
I hope that there's no, like, emotional... Like, these guys have been through a lot, and I don't even know how they practice. And
yep.
Yeah, I mean, it is the Patriots, and they have really... I mean, can the Patriots make the playoffs? I guess maybe they can in some sort of weird way if they win. I don't know if they're...
No,
like,
if they win, they're
eliminated,
in.
But... Yeah, yeah. Okay, so they have something to play for.
Yeah.
But... The point is, like, yeah, these dudes are they're just playing at a different level, and I would just love to see it, man. I would really. I don't know if I would want. You tell me right now, Knicks or Bills? Bills, yeah. You know, in terms of, like, what I would love to see, it's that. You tell me honestly. I've never even said, like, you tell me right now, Bills win the Super Bowl or the Expos return?
No, don't say.
And I just want that. I just want that for those people, man. Those people deserve it. Yeah. Jeez Louise. They deserve it.
I'm gonna delete that from the podcast, though, for you. Because I love you.
I know.
And I'm going to get rid of that. Because that's a heat-of-the-moment thing. And I wish I so know. Badly that
You're
I was Jeff
guy.
Bezos. Because I'd be right now, I would be like, I would have done it for you, but no. You know, like, I would have.
Oh, my God. Was, could you imagine?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, that's a... Don't do that, dude. The amount of...
Okay.
Yeah, you go, you show up. Think about just for a second, you in Montreal, baseball returns. You're there behind home plate, crying around. Like, come on, give me a break. It's fine. You don't have to make things too extreme. You get to sit next to GSP. It's fine. It's going to be great.
Throw you guys, the first pitch, maybe? Yeah. Who knows? You know?
Honestly, I hate to... It's like, is it a wrong? It wouldn't be the first game, but the first season back, for sure. For sure.
Game 84?
Yeah, something
Why
like
not?
That. No, you're getting in the mix. Like, there's no doubt about it. You're definitely getting in the mix. Okay, a couple of quick MMA things for you. One is, when does betting return to Ontario? Like, what are we going to do about this? Because it's actually driving me and a lot of people insane. And, like, dude, betting is important to the UFC here. Because what I have learned is... people really want to bet on it, and people are getting pretty frustrated by it, and it doesn't seem like we have a lot of progress with it. Like, I don't know what the next step is.
Okay, so I will answer that question in a second, but do you remember when that was the biggest scandal in the UFC?
No, we're talking about the other scandal. We're closing with that.
No, I know, but, like, it's just what a stretch, right, for this sport?
No, they're killing it.
And also, what a stretch also, you know, they usually are on every weekend, and this is one of the rare weekends where they're not on. So, like, they usually like to sweep these things under the rug, and they can't this time. I don't know. I know that Alberta, right, they're back. So you would think that maybe that would lead to good things. I also will say, as you probably know, Ontario has always had a bit of a contentious relationship with mixed martial arts. They were one of the last, if not the last province, to legalize it back in 2010, 2011. So I wouldn't put it past them to let this drag out. And also, what I heard was that when there were talks of this happening, there was a meeting, and it did not go very well with the UFC executives. So
right.
I don't know how bad that was, and I don't know, you know, what kind of damage was done. But I actually wanted to ask you a follow-up on that, because I have long believed, like, since the pandemic, right, like, it was very controversial, polarizing, whatever, the decision to come back so early, but, you know, everything worked out
insanely well.
You know, it worked out not only because there wasn't a lot going on, it was like them in Bundesliga, but also with the rise of gambling and all these apps and all that stuff, it worked out even better because people needed entertainment and they needed an escape. It's only been a few weeks and it's only been a couple of events, but do you feel like you are less interested in MMA now that you can't gamble on it?
Without a doubt. I gotta say,
that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Without a doubt. And it certainly has suffered. To me, the way I was going to kind of tie these two things in is, I was fiercely, like, man, it's always a complicated relationship with the UFC, but I was fiercely proud that MMA took, like, a real step as a legitimate organization or a legitimate sport throughout the pandemic. Like, just more people became fans because of all the things that you just outlined. And I've always, like, I've been a UFC fan for a very, very, very long time. I wouldn't say, like, I'm not you where you watch, you know, just like every promotion. Sometimes I'm watching your show. I'm like, how the hell did you, like, you got into the stuff with Patty and you knew who Patty was before, right? Like, I didn't know who Patty was before the UFC, but I care about mixed martial arts and I care about the UFC. And I've always just said that it's the purest form of competition. I love that you can be from anywhere on the planet and that you can show up and do this. I love combat sports, but I especially love mixed martial arts, even more than boxing. And it stings to see it just take this huge step back after it took this tremendous leap forward. I remember the Hamzat moment where, you know, he carried that nobody across the ring who's probably never going to show, and him just dominating and going, okay, this is a new face of UFC and what a cool character this is going to be. And all my friends starting to text me and people ask me about gambling picks. I remember texting with you about you know, people DMing you and people that were asking you for picks, right? Your neighbors, the people that you knew during the pandemic. It was a way to be connected to people. And it felt legitimate. It was on ESPN. There were problems with it. It wasn't perfect, you know, you and I. But remember when we were discussing things like, hey, they shouldn't all wear the same shorts down to the octagon, the same top down to the octagon? That feels so minor now. Like, that feels like nothing. Now it's like they have no, like, they have Hamzat who, you know, missed weight and is, yeah, I don't know what the future of his status is, but whatever. They got Patty who's, got into it with you and I think lost a lot of UFC fans. They've got Dana who is, you know, gets caught abusing his wife on camera and then having one of the worst apologies I've ever seen. And also just silence from the UFC on it. All they do is move their slap league. They go, hey, you know what? Maybe after Dana White slaps his wife, we shouldn't have something called slap league debut. So we're going to run Young Sheldon for a week and hope that everyone just forgets. We'll just hope that the news cycle goes away. And maybe this will be our strategy with this. Yeah, we have gambling controversies. We have huge places. How big is Ontario in terms of a base for MMA? Like, globally, like, out of all the places that they love to come to, I know I'm ranting, I'm going on too long. I got to shut up and just make room for you here. But no, dude, I think that they are in, from an outsider's perspective, it feels like full crisis mode right now.
Yeah, maybe to you. I don't know about to them. Let us count the ways. No statement from the UFC. In fact, their statement on this domestic violence situation, which was caught on camera, was referred to the TMZ article. I mean, this is a major league sport.
Yeah, no.
Could you imagine any other sport they refer to the TMZ article?
Ariel, I have written down in our interview notes, imagine if Adam Silver did this.
Yeah. I mean, imagine, okay, not even Adam Silver. Imagine if James Dolan did this. Like, what would happen?
An owner,
what everyone would be saying. Yeah. So then you have that. You have nothing from Endeavor. Endeavor is the parent company. They're the ones that I'm looking to. You know, Ari Emanuel, who is, you know, co-founder of Endeavor, has been very vocal about some controversial topics as of late, i.e. Kanye West, i.e. Saudi Arabia, not wanting to do business with them. But I guess what you're telling me is you're cool with domestic violence, at least for now. What is the message that you're sending to your entire roster? I got to tell you, man, I've received some heart-wrenching texts from female fighters on the UFC roster, active ones, who have told me how disheartened, how ashamed, how sad they are about how this is being dealt with. And could you imagine if you're a female employee who works for the company and you're saying this is okay? You're now saying that this is okay. And the level of defiance, the level of just like utter sort of I don't give a crap from Dana White and all of this is like he does the interview with TMZ, nothing else. Yesterday on his Instagram, he's posting a thing of him, you know, with one of the Nelk boys with a stack of money. They had a great night at the casino. Someone just texted me. I can't see this stuff because I'm blocked. But someone just texted me. He posted another one of his F It Friday videos where he eats something, crazy.
Cool.
Like, and it's bologna pie, which is kind of funny that it's freaking bologna. But the point is, it's the playbook we've seen from the likes of Donald Trump. Just keep going. Just be defiant, and it will all just bounce off you. Keep going. No remorse.
Yeah.
You really think this guy's embarrassed? You really think all the media that is trying to defend him and trying to cover up for him and trying to paint him in a positive light, they're all running with first, Dana White apologizes. Dana White is embarrassed by this. That's not the news here, guys. And guess what? I don't think he's embarrassed. I don't really think that his apology was sincere. The news is Dana White hit his wife. The news is Dana White was in a public place and was involved in a domestic violence situation. And no one is asking these questions. No one is, and the dudes at TMZ certainly didn't. No one is asking what led to her because everyone wants to say she hit him first. And so what? You know, where I come from, and I'm sure where you come from, someone hits you, a woman hits you, you walk away. But no one is even asking the question, why did she hit him? And why was it even why was it physical before she hit him? And what happened after that video shut off? And have they ever been in a situation like this before? Mm-hmm. All these other questions aren't being asked. It's all just being like, oh, yeah, you know, that's Dana White. That's Dana White for you. No, that's not the way it is. I love this sport, and I want it to be viewed and covered just like every other entity and every other sports league out there. And we're seeing that it's not, and we're seeing that people expect this kind of behavior, and it's very disheartening.
No, it is disheartening, especially when there are obviously members of your organization, the UFC, that can't come out and speak about it honestly. I'm sorry. Nope. I've had guys on from ESPN before, and I'm not trying to take a wide shot at the guys that cover it for them, but some of the articles that I've seen from the guys who do are like, yeah, they're pretty embarrassing. And it's pretty clear that, like, even where it's like it was involved in an incident, like, it's just the language that they've decided to use in some of these pieces is, yeah, I think it's pretty deplorable. And yeah, this is ESPN has covered, I think, you know, football concussions better. Like, this is something that has been run of the mill, discussed about other people, other owners. And for whatever reason, it's essentially just been you that has continuously talked about this or asked these questions. I do think Dana White's apology, quote, or whatever it was, it wasn't even an apology. It was a statement, right? He had three talking points that he wanted to reiterate over and over again. That's why he kept coming back to them. It was, I've known my wife a long time. This has never happened before, and I don't give a crap what anybody else thinks. It's just about my kids. It's like, right. Well, yeah, maybe you should give a crap about what other people think, because this does impact beyond you. This does impact people on your roster, like you just said. This does impact domestic abuse victims. And, like, I even think about, I don't want to say this incorrectly, but I know that there are, there are women on the roster who have been victims of domestic abuse. And I'm pretty sure that, one of them was a former champion. Like, Rose Namajunas' story is hard. It's a tough story to hear. How do you think that someone like that reacts to Dana White just going, I don't give a crap about how anybody else views this? Like, what are you even talking about? Like, it's just, anyway, it's wild, it's disappointing, and I'm telling you, I really do think, I guess what scares me the most is that this is just going to continue in perpetuity, and that Dana White and the UFC are just going to run things however they want them. They're going to have no accountability from ESPN, they're going to have no accountability from their partners, and their legitimacy is just going to stay in limbo, because I just don't think that you can be a credible organization when you are run by that man.
No. And anyone, and I think there are people who believe this, and they're wrong. Anyone who thinks that the sport can continue or evolve or grow, can't thrive without him, you're living in 2007. All right. Kevin Ioli, the columnist for Yahoo, wrote an embarrassing article about this. Embarrassing, truly embarrassing. And he's one of the great combat sports writers of the last 12, 13 years. It's on Yahoo. You want to read it? Go ahead. It's embarrassing. Anyway, he suggested that Dana White go away for a month or so. Would you even notice if he went away for a month? And what does that even mean? It's not like he coaches the team.
Who would bully the journalist then?
You know, it's just like no one would care. And it wouldn't matter. And it wouldn't be sending any type of message to anyone, he goes away. So, like, what? He's posting videos of him eating bologna pies today. The guy doesn't care. Honestly, like, I think he lost his fastball after they sold the company. And I've said time and again, every time I say this, I understand why he lost his fastball. He got paid. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who came from very, very little and all of a sudden is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and his buddies all left and they all got paid. And he's searching for that next thing to get him up in the morning to prove people wrong. Right now, it's the power slap league. That's his big thing that he feels like is going to be the next big thing. And they're giving it all the UFC treatment that they gave to the UFC back in the day with an Ultimate Fighter show and all this nonsense. He's searching for something. But the UFC would be just fine. In fact, I have long believed that every fight promotion needs a face, right? Like, they need a Bob Arum, a Don King, a Vince McMahon, a Dana White, et cetera. The UFC is such a machine and such a brand, and they've done such a great job of turning it into a brand to the point where it's like, oh, UFC's in town, let me get tickets, as opposed to, you know, Top Rank, Matchroom, any other boxing promotion. No one's like, oh, Top Rank's in town, let me get tickets. Doesn't work that way. It's only UFC and WWE that have that in the world of combat sports, if you will, right? WWE comes to town, you buy tickets, and then you find out who's on the card generally. SummerSlam's coming in August, great. then we'll find out who's on the card. It's only UFC and WWE that fall into that category. They would be fine without him. In fact, I would argue they would be better off without him because he is holding them back with incidents like this, with how he handled the Krause situation, which we laid out, that level of defiance. But, you know, there are people who believe, I guess, that that is inaccurate. And I would strongly argue against it. And that has nothing to do with my personal feelings towards the guy. I have personal feelings towards him. I do think of a certain, you know, I think of him in a certain way. But if we're just talking facts, black and white, show me, give me an example, give me something, give me an interview, give me a press conference, give me a soundbite where he has sold you on a fight, because ultimately that's what he does. He sells you on fights. He's a promoter. He doesn't do that anymore. And then you want to come and say, oh, well, but he gets deals done. He signs fighters. He finds them. I'll tell you, as the MMA insider, he doesn't do any of that anymore. Mm-hmm. He doesn't sign fighters. He doesn't negotiate deals. He doesn't make fights. There are people who do that. He's just a figurehead. He's just Dana White with the cool jeans and the cool shirt. That's it. That's what he's become.
Mm-hmm. Ariel, great as always, buddy. I appreciate you making time. And go Bills.
Go Bills, baby.
See you, pal. Ariel Helwani, the MMA Hour, and a million other projects. I think it's still the voice of MMA. Quick break, come back, do a couple more picks.
Smart takes on the biggest stories in sports. The Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time for action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app to get in on the action. Must be 19 plus, must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly, okay? Play responsibly like Pete Walker.
Mm. Thanks, JD.
Okay? So, I didn't make a ton of room for this today for our best bets of the weekend because guess what? I'm making a show policy for betting responsibly for us anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be betting on games where there's zero relevancy to the outcome, okay?
Yeah.
So there's only a couple of games. So my best bet for the weekend, I love the Patriots. Or sorry, the Bills. I love them to destroy the Patriots. Not only have they owned them in the past,
mm-hmm.
I just don't think that the Patriots offense is dynamic or interesting or capable of hanging with the Buffalo Bills. And Josh Allen, to me, is going to have one hell of a game. He's a leader of this football team. He gets it. I think this team is completely fired up that their teammate and friend is going to be healthy. Mm-hmm. Is going to be right. He gave them that call. Football is an emotional sport. Yes, these guys have been through a lot, but I don't think they're losing to this limited offense. I think that the Bills are going to cover. I think that they're going to smash them. That's my favorite bet of the weekend is the Buffalo Bills. How could you not ride?
Yeah, I saw some pictures from Bills practice yesterday, yeah. And there's so many smiles going around and everything.
It's 7.5 felt, I will say, it's like I would love to tease this down to 6.5 just to avoid some kind of a weird back. But I honestly think that Buffalo is going to trounce them. This to me reeks of just it's over at halftime.
Like 35-3 type thing.
No, it's, yeah, I think the Patriots score about 3. We were like 35, I was like 10. And
35-10 is fine.
3, okay. What bets do you guys like?
I like the Detroit Lions money line.
Wow, okay.
I love Lions.
It.
I think it could be a really fun game
you're the man.
To watch.
This is the best thing you've done on the show.
Yeah,
way to go,
please
Pete.
Please gamble responsibly.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm into this, man. I'm so into this.
And the props aren't out yet, the player props, but like Jamal Williams is chasing this touchdown mm-hmm. record, mm-hmm. right? And I think he could be a really big part of the offense on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And do we believe in the Packers? We were out on the Packers earlier this year. Rodgers looked good recently, but... Mm-hmm. Dan Campbell, I think he's got this Lions team ready to play, and it would be a great story if the Lions are able to pull it off.
Let's not forget that the Lions turned their season around when mm-hmm. they played yep. the Packers the first time.
Right.
Let's also, I want to say this. Even if Seattle wins and eliminates Detroit, as I was thinking about this a lot, obviously, as a Seahawks fan, how I'm trying to feel my way through this, I don't think I'll know how to feel, honestly, until I'm sitting down in front of the television. But if you're the Lions, I actually think Dan Campbell in that room, that Seattle wins, they're still going to want to go out there and spoil Green Bay season. Mm-hmm. And that there's going to almost even be an added emotion of they got screwed and they blew it and that they're still going to try to beat.
Yeah.
I don't think that the result is going to matter. I don't think it'll take... Now, ask me that question if Seattle wins and then the Packers win and how sour I am about that on Monday's show, potentially. But either way, I like the Lions too. Anybody else? Quick, you got 30 seconds. Throw your pick.
I just like the Rams to cover +6.
I think, like them too.
I think Bobby Wagner factor. He wants to ruin the Seahawks for not bringing him back.
Yeah. Chargers are covering +2.5 against Denver as well.
Doesn't matter enough. Doesn't violates the rules, the charter of the show.
The Chargers are going into the playoffs. They want to make a statement before going in there.
Yeah, they might be playing backups, though.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm out on that. Yeah, you got to know who's playing in these games. I need to know who's playing. You're right, Buffalo. The Rams are going to be playing their guys. We got to go. Hey, does me a lot of good. Helps the show. Helps all of us if you leave 5-star reviews on iTunes and on Spotify. That was Time for Action, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download DraftKings app to get in the action. Must be 19+. Must be in Ontario. Please play responsibly. Please have a great weekend.